In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. This is a very intimate expression. It's in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which we just read. It has a lot of complicated things in it that I confess to you I have trouble understanding. But then sometimes Paul says something that is so beautiful, so intimate, it's easy to understand this. Christianity is to have the word nigh thee, the word near to thee, the word so close to thee that it is even in thy mouth. It's in thy heart. To be a Christian is to have God in your heart. Now, the mentioning of the mouth is because with the mouth we eat, with the mouth we speak. We must eat to live, and we speak to communicate. This is what differentiates us from animals. That we can speak and tell each other deep truths. And so with the word being in our mouth, that means that the word is the most important thing in our life. God is with us. God abides in us. God lives in us. This is what it means to be a Christian. And this, by the way, is why a Christian abhors sin. Not because there are rules against sin. There are plenty of rules. There's the Ten Commandments, and there's many other things that the Gospel says, many other things in the Old Testament that are binding upon us as far as how we are to live. But the reason a Christian abhors sin is because the sweetness that is in his mouth, that honey of the Holy Spirit, becomes bitter when we sin. The Christian who truly feels God living within him, at the smallest sin, feels less of God. And that's why he abhors sin. This is very important to understand, because there is much sin in our world now that is being promulgated. And I'm speaking specifically about the recent Supreme Court decision. That decision was not just a legal decision. That decision was interpreted by a large number of people as giving them license to do what they want, when they want, whenever they want, wherever they want, and to pillory, to persecute those who do not believe what they believe and practice. If you don't believe me, then let's have this discussion in another 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. Because if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can see that our society is now saying what life is. Not what Christians say life is, to have the word of God nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Life for most people, and it's being promoted by our government and by corporations, life for them is what you want, what you desire, what makes you happy, what you identify with. I'm telling you as your pastor, if you identify with anything except being a Christian and having the word of God in thy mouth and in thy heart, then you are misidentifying yourself. Now, I'm not speaking of being proud of your heritage or other such things. Those things are all fine. But you should not identify yourself by anything other than you are a Christian and that the word of God abides in thee. The reason why we have come to this terrible, epoch-changing moment in the history of mankind is because people identify themselves as something other than Christ. They identify their desires or that word that is used so much, their orientation, as their identity. Your identity should be as a Christian. Now, I told you, check back with me in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, if my predictions, my prophecy comes true. I'm telling you it will. And I'm also telling you that some of you won't be here to hear it, because some of you are going to fall away, because there's going to be a lot of pressure on you to believe as society believes. Sort of like when the Christians were persecuted by Rome. They were allowed to be Christian as long as they did pagan stuff once in a while. As long as they sacrificed to the emperor once a year, they were allowed to be Christian. They just had to keep it down a little bit. That's not Christianity. Christianity is to have the word of God nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And if you do not live like that, you will be very confused. I will tell you about what this confusion is like. There is someone that I've been corresponding with, highly educated, multiple theological degrees, and a lecturer in theology, who is Orthodox Christian, and says that these sexual mores, that is, that a boy should not be with a boy, a girl should not be with a girl, trying to use careful language here, but really, let's not kid ourselves. The whole world is speaking of it and promulgating it. I'll go on a little aside for a moment. I was told by someone about children's websites, like if you get on and you do whatever. I learned what Minecraft was at camp. Never heard of it before. It's something with Legos and they do battles, and it sounds very silly to me, but it's incredibly popular. Incredibly popular. Things like that. And little sites where kids do drawings and do little talking to one another. There is now, since the Supreme Court decision, on these kinds of sites, there is an infusion of homosexual propaganda that is saying it's just fine to have two mommies, two daddies. It's everywhere now. So whether your kids are homeschooled or not, unless they are in a cocoon, they will be well aware of things that I didn't know about until I was in grade school, until 7th and 8th grade. They're well aware of these things. And the awareness is that you're bigoted, you're stupid. There's something wrong with you if you do not accept these things. That's the message. And they are prone to believing this message if you do not have the word of God nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. If you don't, then everybody's got to identify with something. And we have this problem. We don't like it when people call us stupid. We don't like it when people say, you're a bigot. And even Orthodox Christians are afraid to be called those things. Well, that's my little aside. This person has said it's a theologuma that we have this idea that a person, if they're like a boy liking a boy, that they're being sentenced to a life of celibacy. That's nowhere in our tradition. Of course, she's drastically wrong, but she hangs around with people who tell her she's right. And have had people who have lots of education. I call them educated idiots. And the reason why she has this theologuma is because she does not understand this right here. Christianity is to have the word of God nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And to pursue God so that God completely fills you. And you cannot be filled with God if you are impure whatever the impurity is, whether it is anger, whether it is avarice, whether it's sexual impurity, whether it's boasting, whatever impurity is in your life, keeps God from filling you completely. And some impurities keep God even away from you, so that you have no God, not with you at all. This is Christian tradition. This is our understanding. And you must understand this. You must pursue God, because I'm telling you, I don't believe that if we go forward 10 years, that everyone in this room will be here. Now, I understand some people are traveling and such, but I'm speaking metaphorically. It's going to be great pressure for you to kowtow to this way of life that says that life is what you want, what you desire, what makes you happy. That's not life. Life is to have God within you. Now, the reading for the gospel today is about the demons in the Gergesenes and how the Lord caused all the demons to go into the pigs, and the pigs went over a cliff and were drowned. And the people who kept the pigs, who were Jews, who were breaking the law and profiting from it, they came and asked him to leave. Rather than repenting, rather than recognizing that he was showing them their sin, they asked him to leave. It says, the whole city went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart from their coasts. And then one of the most sad sentences in all of Scripture. Every time I read it, I shudder. It's very simple. And he entered into a ship and passed over. And he came to his own city. In other words, they said to leave, and he did. And they got back with getting more pigs and going on and living. And then dying. And dying the death. Because they weren't following the law of God. You must struggle to have the Word of God near thee. There's going to be great pressure on you to define yourself as something other than a Christian, a true Christian. Already we have definitions of words that no longer mean what they should mean. Marriage means zip to the world now. It has no meaning to them. Marriage, I guess, means a big party. That's about the only thing that is important. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman for the salvation of their soul. Nothing else is possible in marriage. There is no other purpose in marriage but for a man and woman to be joined together, to become one flesh, and to save their souls and those of their children if God grants them. It's an image of the love of the Trinity. It is impossible to have that image with a boy and a boy, or a girl and a girl. No matter what legal authorities say. Did you know that there is actually movements, there are people speaking, and it's getting louder, that First Amendment rights do not apply to speaking about this subject? Did you also know that even statistics from pro-homosexual organizations put the amount of homosexuals at 3% in our society, and this little tiny tail is wagging the entire dog, and there is movement that free speech does not apply to speaking about this kind of morality, because it is defined now as a civil right, and even defined as a civil right. Even when there were terrible things being said, racist things being said by the Ku Klux Klan, no one called for them not to be able to say those things by law. And yet, there is a movement to silence those who speak morally. Are you ready for it? What are you going to do? How are you going to survive this onslaught, this tsunami that is coming? It's building up. Basically, you know how tsunami, when it begins, it's maybe 1,000 miles or so away. The earthquake happens, and they know it's coming. And so it's coming. It's still a little wave, but it's getting bigger and bigger as it comes to the shore. And if you don't live your life to have the word of God nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, you're going to be washed away. I feel it very necessary to speak to you about these subjects, because one of the ministries of a priest is to be a prophet. Prophets don't necessarily predict a future. I don't have the wisdom to do that. It's not predicting the future to know what's going to happen as far as these things. That's just being able to, if I can mix metaphors, read the tea leaves a little bit. But you must be a prophet too. You must speak about the truth. You must live the truth. You must teach your children the truth. Are you reading the gospel to your children? If not, what's wrong with you? Do you want them to learn the gospel from the person on the street that says that Christianity is a theologuma? You know, by the way, theologuma means a private theological opinion. You want to have the opinion that you're a boy and you like girls. That's okay. You can have that opinion. But you can't dare have an opinion that if a boy likes a boy, that it's bad for his soul. Or if he acts on his liking a boy. I want to take one aside for you, because this is important. Because this whole social upheaval that's occurring is based on lies. So there's lie after lie after lie after lie. And one of the lies is that those who hold to, if you want to call it traditional, sexual morality, are hateful, and they don't care about those who have homosexual tendencies, who commit suicide, and all the rest. I want to make it clear to you. Christians accept everyone and anyone with love. Anyone and everyone is welcome to come in this church, except those who would be disrespectful, who would purposely try to cause an uproar. And on that level, as a pastor, I want anyone to come. I don't care if they're fornicating. I don't care if they're homosexual. I don't care if they're working prostitutes. The thing I care about is, no matter what they're doing, that they want to stop doing it. Maybe they're not able to, but they'd like to try. They'd like to gather the strength to do so. And that they're not going to be apologists for their sin. With those criteria, anyone and everyone is always welcome in church. And I rejoice when someone I talk to that perhaps is in some sort of sexual relationship that they should not be, and I say, well, I can't give you communion, but please come to church, and they come. It makes me very happy to see that happen. Now, that's not with that. That's not according to the lie. The lie is that we're legalistic, and we hate anybody that doesn't do exactly what we want. That's a lie. That's a lie from the demons. We even have now movements in Orthodox Christianity, like this woman I told you, who is moderately influential in some circles, mostly people that all think like her, and have lots of degrees and all that kind of thing. There is a movement among some people to regularize sexual immorality, to come up with some sort of accommodation for sexual immorality, whether it be same sex or opposite sex. It's happening, so, you know, We still have to take care of these people, give them communion, and just ignore this problem. And eventually, I think that there will be those who break away from the Orthodox Church, still calling themselves Orthodox, who will actually have marriage services for such. They might be some of your friends. They might be your church, not this one. With God helping me, I'll go to prison first. But in other ones, perhaps. Are you ready? What did you do yesterday? Did you read the scriptures? Did you pray the Jesus prayer? What did you do last week? What was most important to you last week? Is it most important to you that the word of God is in thy mouth and in your heart? That should be all that matters. Is it important to you that those things that are in your life that are not pure, that you beg God to help you with your anger, with your judging, perhaps with your sexual thoughts, with your laziness? Or do you just bebop through life? There was a time when people could bebop through life and things didn't change too much. But that period of time is over. Now you're going to have to stand up and be counted. And if you do not have the word of God in thy mouth, you're going to get run over. So are you ready? As your pastor, I beg you to be ready. I beg you to read the scriptures, to pray, to come to church a whole lot more than some of you are coming, to come to confession a whole lot more than some of you are coming, and to receive the mysteries, and to struggle to have God within you. That's the only place there is truth. Everything else is lies. If you don't do this, you're in grave danger. And I'm speaking generally. I'm not speaking to any particular person. I've never, ever spoken to a particular person in the congregation in my sermon. I am speaking a little bit to this person that tells me that sexual morality, as the church has always understood it, is a theologuma, is a private opinion. May God help you to have the word of God in your mouth, to feel God in your heart, to be changed, to be perfected, to struggle against your sins, whatever they are. I'll finish with one thing, a rabbit trail. Michael's over there. He tells me I go through rabbit trails sometimes, and every once in a while he tells me I was... He kind of understood what I was saying, but then I went down a rabbit trail and I lost him. Well, here's your rabbit trail. This is really important. Christianity is not about being perfect in that you don't sin. Christianity is about God perfecting you and struggling against sin. Remember what the scripture says, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going in heaven before you, when he was speaking to the Pharisees. As a priest, I'm not so concerned about someone's sins. I'm concerned about their desire and their attitude towards their sin. If a person's complacent and they're lazy, they're at more risk than a person who's in a same-sex relationship and can't extricate themselves from it because of their weakness, but is struggling to do so. That lazy person is more at risk. Whatever your sin is, God will forgive all sin if we struggle against it. All you need to do is struggle against it. Whether you're successful or not, let God determine. Let God help you. The church is not a place where people have to be checked off and say, oh, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. Okay, you're allowed to come in. The church is a place, it's a hospital for those who want to get well.
Now, despite what the slanders are against the church, that is the truth. No matter what your sin, come to God, pray, struggle against it. Perhaps you're not going to do very well. Perhaps you're still going to do it. Whatever that sin is, or perhaps it's a constellation of sins. If you struggle against your sins, God will help you. If you do not struggle, if you make excuse with excuses in sin, as we sing in every Vespers service, then you cannot be saved. That's as plain as I can make it for you. Struggle against your sin. God will give you the victory. Perhaps that victory won't occur until after your death. But if you'd make no excuse for your sin and struggle against it, certainly you will be pleasing to God. And if it pleases Him, He will give you victory over it even in this life. But you have to understand why to struggle against sin. Because it removes God from your mouth and from your heart. It makes you insensible to God. It makes you unable to see Him or know Him or breathe Him or taste Him. So beg God to deliver you from your sin. Struggle against it. And work a whole lot harder. Read a lot more. Pray a lot more. Fast a lot better. And whatever you're capable of doing, do it. And God will make you capable of more. This is the true gospel. The gospel on CNN, that's the gospel of devils. The gospel that comes currently from the White House, when they light up the White House like some sort of clown show, that's the gospel of devils. The gospel of corporations that now have LGBTQ ombudsmen to make sure everything is just so, that's the gospel of devils. The gospel is that the word of God should be nigh thee, yea, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. May God help you to make that so. Amen.